From Valley Public Radio, you're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. This week, we'll hear from farm workers in Wasco. COVID-19 is disproportionately affecting Latino populations. So what protections are these essential workers given to reduce the spread of the disease? We also speak to leaders from two distinguished venues in the San Joaquin Valley, the Fox Theater in Visalia and Tower Theater in Fresno. With a ban on large gatherings and no shows on the horizon, we'll learn how these landmarks plan to endure the pandemic. But first, California Governor Gavin Newsom suspended most evictions in April. But now state lawmakers are debating whether to lift the moratorium, leaving renters who have lost their jobs to the pandemic facing an uncertain future. To learn more about how this could impact the affordable housing market and homelessness, I spoke with Fresno State Associate Professor of Sociology, Amber Crowell, and Patience Milrod, Executive Director of Central California Legal Services. Patience, can you just give us a snapshot of where things stand today as it pertains to affordable housing in the Central Valley and eviction protection in light of COVID-19?
Well, before COVID, in Fresno County alone, there was a shortage of between 35,000 and 40,000 affordable units. What that meant was people were spending 50% and more of their income, of their very low incomes, on their housing. A lot of times the housing being so substandard, you could not possibly argue they were getting their money's worth. So that was already a problem when people, before the economy tanked and people were working. So now it's worse, and I don't have any current information about how many more units we would need in order to decently and safely house people at a price point they could afford. But I feel secure in saying it's at least twice the number that it was, given how poor we already are as a region, and then beyond that, how stressed people are economically. So that's the state of affordable housing. The solution to this has always been supply. And, you know, a lot of the governments, local governments around here, want to be Palo Alto. And so they resist building housing that my clients can afford to live in. So that's the state of affordable housing to the extent I can report on it at this moment. And then your other question is, what protections are available?
Exactly. I mean, we've had some moratoriums on eviction, but the deadlines are coming up soon.
It's a big mess. Different governmental entities acted at different times and did different things. So there's not a uniform set of protections. Generally, though, in California, the governor has declared a state of emergency, and the Judicial Council, which is the courts of the state of California, have declared a moratorium which precludes landlords, except in the case of public health or safety, danger to public health or safety. They have precluded landlords from going to court to get an eviction. So there's a whole process. If I don't pay my rent, somebody comes in under ordinary times, knocks on my door and gives me a notice, hey, pay rent or quit. I still don't pay my rent, then they come back 3 days later and they give me a court paper, a summons and a complaint saying I have 5 days to get into court and say why the judge shouldn't just issue an order throwing me out of my house. So that judicial part of the process, where the summons, which is what makes me obligated to show up in court if I'm a tenant and I'm being sued, that summons, the court will not issue it. And if the landlord cannot use the court process right now in order to get a tenant into court, in order to get that order from a judge that requires the tenant to leave their rental property. Now, that said, what we've seen at Central California Legal Services is landlords still want to get people out of there. So they end up giving people notices that, for example, supposedly require them to leave their premises, but they don't meet the requirements of the health and safety exception, or they try to file complaints in court that don't meet the requirements of the health and safety exception. And we also know that people, when they get a notice from their landlord, even if it's not from the court, they often just look at it and say, oh my God, I better get out of here, because to have an eviction judgment on my record is so damaging to my efforts to get housing later that I just need to leave and just avoid this whole process altogether. And Amber can talk really authoritatively about how prevalent that informal eviction process is. It's not a judicial process. And the protections that are available under law don't prevent that if tenants don't know their rights and don't insist on them.
Amber, can you tell us a little bit about what is happening in terms of the market? And you know, if somebody receives an eviction notice and doesn't realize that they are not legally forced to leave their home, where would they go?
Yeah, so before the pandemic, we were surveying tenants in eviction court and asking them that very question, where are you going to go? And not a single person who we spoke to had a new home lined up. They mostly said, I'm going to go sleep on my friend's couch, or I'm going to go stay with my mom, or in a lot of cases, especially when it was families with children, they were staying in hotels or motels. So that's a pretty common outcome for people who are evicted. They can't find housing in the short term because it's really hard to find housing in a county that has 40,000 unit shortfall in affordable housing. And to compound that, when you are formally evicted, it goes on your tenant record for 7 years. So they are automatically screened out of most housing in Fresno, most safe, decent housing in Fresno. When they're informally evicted, usually the people who are informally evicted, so people who they leave without going through the court process, either because their landlords are intimidating them or because they are, for whatever reason, can't go through the court process, say it's an undocumented family or a mixed status family, they're already in a situation where they're quite vulnerable and their options are extremely limited. So they're most likely to end up staying at other people's homes or relying on, you know, cheap motels to get by. So they are, for the most part, homeless, you know, in that sense of the word, and that they don't have a stable long-term place to stay. That's what we were seeing happening before. And now when the rental market has kind of frozen because people aren't leaving their units, even people who say their lease is up, you know, or they were evicted prior to, you know, they're not leaving because they don't have to. So there's an even greater shortage of available rental units because no one's moving. So if you lose your housing right now, it's extremely hard to find a new place to live.
And then once the moratorium lifts, what is the market going to look like?
The first thing we'll see is the wave of eviction filings. So right now, we submitted PRA requests to the courts in the Central Valley to find out if filings are happening right now. And actually, there's very few. So if there's one good thing that the moratorium has done other than keep people housed, it's also seems to have discouraged landlords from filing for now. But renters are starting to fall behind on rent. The Census Household Pulse Survey that is keeping track of this nationwide is finding that it's getting harder and harder for people to make ends meet. They have been, because as the saying goes, the rent eats first. So they've been finding ways to do it, but all of those strategies are not sustainable. So we'll see the wave of eviction filings when the moratoriums lift, and then people will lose their housing. But what we'll also see is that mom-and-pop landlords, who make up the majority of landlords in Fresno, are going to fall behind on their mortgages because they can evict the tenants, but recouping that lost rent is a little harder to do, and the tenants themselves don't have the money. They would have paid it if they did. So this is where we're kind of taking lessons from the 2008 recession and what we saw there. The 2008 recession and the housing crisis associated with it resulted in a ton of middle-class families losing their homes. And in the fallout of that, we saw a massive transfer of wealth as housing went from the hands of middle-class families who were trying to establish some base amount of wealth to a small group of mostly corporate real estate entities. Mm-hmm. So we're in danger of seeing that happening again on a large scale because tenants aren't getting relief, and as a result, landlords aren't getting relief. And in Fresno, we we've seen what happens. We've seen all these properties go into the hands of corporate landlords, and out of that, we've seen rents go up. We've seen the quality of housing go down, because when housing goes into the hands of corporate real estate entities, it becomes all about profit. Mom and pop landlords, they rent out housing to, you know, say, set back money for retirement, right? When corporations get a hold of those housing units, it's totally different. It's strictly about making a profit.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So it takes us further away from housing as a basic human need and more towards housing as a commodity that, you know, companies can make money off of, which will just worsen our problem.
It just seems to me that COVID-19 has exposed the frailty of our systems. At the same time, it has also exposed our interconnectivity and how all of these issues connect and affect all of us. And so I want to bring it back to where we started the conversation, which was the crisis of affordable housing that we were experiencing and not addressing prior to COVID-19. Patience, what is your thought around the lessons that we will learn from this pending, you know, wave, as it's been described, of evictions when the moratorium lifts? Do you think that this could lead to a more substantive conversation about addressing affordable housing, period? Or are we going to go back to the status quo?
So I think it's going to be difficult to go back to the status quo no matter what. There are bills pending in the California legislature right now that would provide for a rent deferral. So it's really important. If people can pay their rent, they should try to pay their rent, because the more you put it off, the bigger the bill is going to be at the end of the day, and the more difficult it will be to stay in your house, even if there's some kind of relief after the moratorium. So one of the thoughts is to maintain the moratorium until the end of the state of emergency, which, you know, at least, and then to divert tenants who owe a significant amount of rent into a rent deferral agreement so that they can pay off their rent, their overdue rent, little by little, and not be subject to losing their houses. So that is a really different way of doing business. It is not the, you know, I'm collecting rent every month and putting in my pocket model. It is an accommodation based on the capacity of the tenant to pay, which is like, that's pretty inconsistent with ordinary market housing. The other thing that we're seeing is people begin to talk about universal basic income. I mean, there are beginning to be fixes that we have desperately needed for a really long time, so that housing could be accessible to people who are very low income. It is, local governments are hostile, and developers are hostile, because when you pencil it out, the investment in affordable housing is difficult to recoup, and the tax that the local government retrieves are lower. And certainly in the Central Valley, there's a whole lot of locations where people, the populace, the citizens of the city, resist the idea of affordable housing. So Clovis is a really good example, which is why CCLS is suing them, so that they can begin to comply with the law about providing zoning and planning that would accommodate affordable housing. But that is a very long, slow process. So I was heartened to learn that the city of Fresno, for the very first time, and I've lived here 40 years, for the very first time, the city of Fresno is imposing restrictions on landlords' rent increases. So the Housing Preservation Fund that the city council just enacted last week, I think, or the week before, in order for the landlord to receive rent from the Housing Preservation Fund so that it makes up the rent that the tenant can't pay for, the landlord has to commit to not increasing the rent. And similarly, rent increases are restricted under the state moratorium also. So there are beginning to be incursions into that market mentality. And I think what will matter is, and I think Amber's 100% right, that corporate landlords, they really only care about the bottom line. So this is a cultural problem. So to the extent housing can remain in the possession and ownership of people in the community who will benefit from tenant stability and the educational attainment their children can have and the ongoing employment and the improved mental health. And so there's a lot that happens when a family can stay in their house, and the reverse happens when they have to leave. So to the extent local people continue to own rental property and reap the benefits of tenants being able to pay for their housing, then it becomes a virtuous cycle as opposed to the reverse, which I think Amber described really well.
So Amber, we just have a minute or two before we need to wrap up, but I'd like to give you the last word. If somebody's listening to this who is potentially facing eviction as a result of job loss, what do they need to know right now to protect themselves?
So it's very important that renters know that right now, unless it's a court-ordered public safety or health issue, and it has to be court-ordered, nobody should be receiving eviction notices. Evictions are not happening. They're not being processed by the courts unless it's a public safety issue. So there are no court summons other than those few exceptions. It's also really important that renters know that the rent is not canceled or forgiven. So if they can't pay rent, okay, they need to work out some sort of repayment plan with their landlord if they can. They need to let their landlord know. But they also need to know that the moratorium does not forgive their rent. It doesn't cancel it. So somewhere down the line, it's going to come back. Now, hopefully, the state legislature will pass AB 1436, which will introduce a lot of protections and give renters more time to get back on their feet and pay off that debt. But in the meantime, that's what they need to know. So if they're getting notices, they need to call legal aid, and patients can rattle off that phone number.
Patients, please.
Right. 1-800-675-8001. People can also apply for assistance at our website, which is www.centralcallegal.org. CentralCallegal.org.
Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to fill us in on this complicated but deeply important matter. So thank you.
Thanks for your interest.